Two-strike pitch to Castro. Swing and a miss. Got him on a high fastball, and that is the ball game.
Welcome to another Astros podcast.
Detroit Tigers take the first game of this three-game series, beating up on the Astros 14-6.
One of the things about this is you can erase it. Colin McHugh won't get to erase it for 4 days, but the Astros can erase this game because it discounts for one. They'll be back at it tomorrow.
Welcome back to Astro Launch, everybody. This is Steve Sparks, and I'm with Jason Castro, the Astros catcher. And Jason, just before we get talking a little bit, can you tell me the difference of this? When you first got to this team, the Astros, obviously it was a team in transition. All the losing, how hard that was, and how nice it is, and how content you are with the way that things have turned out for this Astros team in the last couple of years.
It's been a great change. I think it gives, you know, some of the guys that have been here since the beginning a little bit more perspective on it and a little bit of a deeper appreciation for kind of how far we've come and what getting to this point, you know, means for not only for us but the fans and the organization and everything.
And do you ever talk about it with Altuve and Keuchel and Marwin, some of those guys, like, man, how far have we come?
Yeah, we joke about it sometimes, just about
teammates.
About some of the times and stories from, you know, just not being very good. Yeah. But now we can look back and joke on it. But you know, going through it obviously was not great.
Right. This is a pretty tough stretch right here when you're talking about the next three teams you play, including this Tigers team. It's a really good team. You guys played the Blue Jays for four and the Rangers for three. I know you want to take them one at a time, but it's a tough stretch for you guys. Are you guys fully aware of the schedule right now?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we know that the teams we have coming up are very capable of swinging the bats.
Yeah.
And so I think we need to just be smart game planning wise and you know how to go about facing some of these lineups. So it's definitely a challenge. You know, we're going to continue to rely on our pitching staff like we have all year, even though the you know, the challenge is a little greater. But at the same time, we're going to try to do everything we can to get up early and give those guys a little bit of a cushion. And, you know, that always seems to kind of help pitchers out a little bit. And if we can do some things with the bats ourselves against these teams, it'll, you know, help kind of give the pitching staff a little bit of a confidence boost.
Tough task today. Obviously, you're facing Justin Verlander, and he seems to be back on top of his game. What's the biggest challenge when you face him?
He's tough. He, you know, what makes him good is just his ability to mix pitches. He's a smart pitcher. He reads swings and he reads at bats pretty well. And I think that's what makes him so good. He's not just stuck in his game plan. He's willing to adjust out on the mound and kind of adapt based on what he sees. And so that's tough. You kind of have to think right along with him and you know, grind out at bats. And you know, I think our goal going in is to not give anything away and really just kind of grind him down as much as we can and you know, give him some tough outs when we do get him. So hopefully we can get out a little bit early of a lead and take it from there. But you know, we're gonna try to be tough outs today.
When you talk about Verlander being a good reader of swings, it might be a little bit easier for a pitcher. Is it easy for a catcher to read swings back there in that crouch position?
Yeah, I mean, it's something that I think catchers can also get a kind of sense for, you know, what a hitter's trying to do. You can see if guys are moving around in the box based on, you know, what their approach might be or you know, the way that they might flinch on a certain pitch or things like that. So you can definitely get a sense of not only what a guy might be looking for, but what he's capable of handling as well. A
couple more things with Jason Castro. Who's the most talkative with umpires when you face opposing teams? A couple of guys come to mind that just want to talk to you or want to talk to the umpires and won't shut up.
There's no one that really stands out.
Are guys pretty diplomatic when they come to say, hey, is that the end of the strike zone or where are we at?
Yeah, I mean, usually guys are for the most part, guys are pretty careful about the things that they say. And you could definitely tell that some guys are a little bit calculated in how they approach not only saying hello to umpires every day, but kind of the trying to get a little camaraderie before the at-bat to try to make them, you know, possibly get a kind of borderline call their way. So I try to counteract that as much as I can.
Okay, last thing. Brady, your son. I mean, he's a few months old now. What's going on with that, and how's your sleep patterns right now?
Sleep's actually all right. You know, going on the road definitely helps. I can sleep in a lot later, but he's been great. Been, you know, a blessing and just a lot of fun so far. So he's been a really, you know, great baby so far.
Yep. There you go. It's Jason Castro. Good luck tonight, and thanks for joining us.
All right, thank you.
Back with more Astro Lunch right after this.
The following Minute of Astros History featuring Larry Durker is brought to you by Minute Maid. Minute Maid, put good in, get good out. Here's Dirk.
A tall timber fell on the floor of the Astrodome on this day in 1980 when 6'7" J.R. Richard collapsed with a stroke while working out. J.R. had been feeling dizziness for a month. His arm felt numb. The doctors were perplexed. It didn't seem to affect his pitching. He beat the Braves to run his record to 10-4 with an ERA of 1.96. In his last start before the All-Star game, he pitched two scoreless innings, fanning three, and hitting 100 miles an hour on the radar gun. But in his next start in the Dome, he was unable to finish the fourth inning, and he was placed on the disabled list. It turned out that a blood clot worked his way up to his brain and caused the stroke. The Astros lost that night in Philly, but rallied to win the Western Division for the first time in 1980.
Thanks, Dirk. Minute Maid believes that whether it's families or juice, when you put good in, you get good out. That's why you can count on Minute Maid to deliver delicious, refreshing goodness in every sip. Minute Maid, put good in, get good. Good out.
Welcome back. Robert Ford joined by Dave Hudgens, Astros hitting coach. And now you look at this Astros offense. We've started to see the team start to, over this little stretch they've been on, pick up a few more hits with runners in scoring position, do more of the little things to get guys over. Stuff we weren't seeing early in the year when this team was really struggling offensively.
Yeah, well, that's what it takes to, you know, you have to be able to score in different ways. So a homer just isn't going to get it done. It's like the three-point shot in basketball, I guess. You
right.
know? Not always going to get it every night. We do hit some homers, but if you're going to extend innings, and especially against really good pitching, you're going to have some singles and move some guys over and, you know, do the little things to help you score that extra one or two runs.
Jose Altuve, he's been good all year, but the run he's been on since the All-Star break, maybe the best run he's been on so far this year. With Altuve, do you have to do much with him during the season, or is it more just kind of maintaining his approach?
No, just maintain what he's doing. He really knows his swing. And the thing about Jose, his swing doesn't change much. You know, he's real consistent with his mechanics. And, you know, he's always working to get good pitches to hit. And he's just been, you know, he's just a real special hitter. And he works at it every day. He, not a day he doesn't go by where he doesn't work at it. And he's always trying to get better. And he's never satisfied. And the one thing about him, he never gives an at-bat away. He's always digging in. And, you know, you might see him swinging a pitch he doesn't want to, but he's grinding it out. And he's, you know, he's a special hitter.
The team leader in RBIs is Carlos Correa. And if you look at the way things started for him with RBIs, it's a little surprising because over the first couple of months, I mean, he had that good run in the series in New York to open the season, but really first couple of months wasn't driving in as many runs even though he was batting third or fourth. What's been a difference for him the last month and a half, 2 months?
I just think he's really done a good job of staying in the middle of the field. You know, good RBI guys are guys that really stay in the middle of the field and don't try to pull too much. I mean, you're going to do your damage on pitches you should do damage on, but if your mindset is to go up there and just hit a three-run homer, you're not going to, you know, be able to hit that ball in the middle of the field. So I think he's concentrated a lot on driving the ball in the middle, not trying to do too much, just picking up that RBI and not worrying about doing damage in those situations. And there are times you're still going to do damage just because, you know, what a special talent that he is. But I think he's just had a real consistent approach in those situations.
Colby Rasmus on Wednesday broke out of an 0-for-29 with a big two-run home run. What were you seeing with Rasmus during that 0-for stretch that he had, and do you think he's starting to get back to where he was?
I think so. I think, after, you know, he was sick for a little bit, and he just started, I don't want to say chasing balls, but trying to go after the ball a little bit and start getting his weight maybe a little bit out front. So he's, you know, he's really been working on trying to keep his weight back and let the ball come to him. And you know, his swing, he makes a little adjustments here and there, but I think he just needs to square a couple balls up. And once he squares a couple balls up, he knows what he's doing. He not try to do too much, not chase pitches he shouldn't chase, and, you know, just get good pitches to hit.
Bregman hasn't been here too long, but you did see Alex Bregman during spring training a little bit. What have you seen with him so far offensively? I know not a whole lot of success early, but obviously just still young in his big league career.
I'm really impressed with him, his approach. I mean, I really don't look at the hits at that young of a, you know, it's a real sample, small sample size, but I really like his swing. He's really short to the baseball. He's going to make contact. He's just missed a couple balls. You know, the ball to right center field, the bases loaded the other night. And His first at-bat was a ball inside. He just missed. So he's just missing. The hits are going to come. I just want him to stick with the right approach, not trying to do too much. I think that's the hardest thing for a young hitter when they come up is trying to keep him relaxed and just keep doing what you're doing that worked for you in the minor leagues. And once he gets that first hit out of the way and he gets a little confidence, he'll be fine. He's a good-looking young hitter.
Dave Hudgens, Astros hitting coach. Thanks for joining us.
You're welcome, Robert. Anytime.
Robert Ford, Steve Sparks, on your radio, the Houston Astros Radio Network.